Hey guys, and welcome back to another show. Again, another one with no intro music, no fancy bits, no frills, just the cold, hard, awesome facts.
Yay!
With me today, from as you might have guessed, from the yay, and I did warn you in the post, it's the missus, it's Leah.
Hello!
We have just got back from seeing Iron Man in the cinema. I'm going to try and keep the hyperbole a little bit low until we start getting into it. First of all, let's just give a quick brief overview of the plot. Basically, it's a story of Iron Man. It's a Genesis story, or an origin story, whatever you want to call it, for the superhero. Tony Stark is a billionaire, millionaire, ultra-trillionaire weapons designer and manufacturer for Stark Industries. And he's out demoing his newfangled Jericho missile system when all hell breaks loose and he gets captured by... I'm going to call them Taliban ripoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, that sounds negative, but we'll get into the characters and stuff in a little bit. Basically, due to this change of heart, he becomes Iron Man, wants to help people. That's plot in a nutshell. Doesn't really tell you much, but that's basically how Iron Man starts, and it's true to the comic books, wouldn't you say?
For the most part.
They've updated it a little bit, but that's basically how it went down. Yeah, back in the, I think it was 50s or 60s when they created Iron Man. So, I've mentioned that, so let's get straight on to our thoughts of the specifics and the characters and the acting and the performance and everything in general. I'm going to go out on a limb and say best superhero movie ever.
It was awesome.
I've not had that much fun in a cinema in quite so much time. What I was going for. It was fantastic. I mean, we could use quite a few superlatives to describe the experience, really, couldn't we? I mean, it was riveting, fun. Yeah. There was some great laugh out loud moments which had the whole audience up in you know, laughing along. Okay, let's put a little caveat on that. We were at a preview screen, which would imply the people there are already fans, or at least comic book, you know, people who like that stuff. I, as you people probably already know, have been excited about this movie for about a year, more maybe. I'm a massive fan of the character, and I'm very much into that character in the comic books and all things associated with that character, so I'm gonna be biased.
And I quite like him too.
But you're not like me, you know, you're a little bit less biased, perhaps, would you say? How did you take that from a non-say Iron Man fan?
I thought he was brilliant. I have to say, Robert Downey Jr. is just, he was excellent. He is Tony Stark now.
He is Tony Stark.
Forever. Not that he can't play other people, but no one else can be Tony Stark. I will kill them.
No, you're right. He is the epitome of that character. The casting, fantastic throughout. And actually, let's talk a little bit about the supporting roles. We had Terrence Howard as Rhodes.
Jim Rhodes.
Gwyneth Paltrow as Pepper Potts. And Jeff Bridges as Obadiah Stane, the bad guy of the piece. For the most part, there was this little Taliban-type extremist out in the desert who, I'm reticent to spoil too much, but the name of their organization was the Ten Rings organization. Or Ten Rings, just in general. Mm. Now, to anybody who's a fan of Iron Man, they know about the Mandarin and, of course, the Ten Rings of Power. Now, whether or not that means the guy in charge, I don't think it was the guy in charge of that little group being the Mandarin.
No.
I think he's above that. He's organizing things. He's manipulating things in the background.
I would concur.
Should we talk about maybe, you know, him being the number one villain for Iron Man? Should we talk about why he maybe didn't show up in this movie?
Basically, I think the Mandarin has too much of a backstory of his own and is too intricate to be a Genesis villain.
Yeah, because you need to focus on Stark and the creation of Iron Man's the suit Mark III, which is, of course, fantastic. Let's talk about the beginning part of that movie, actually. Let's talk about how he was, first of all, captured, and then he makes the Mark I. Awesome, awesome escape.
Yep.
Brilliant escape.
Awesome.
You know, he's not sure what he's doing. He's, like, he's risking his life. He's really just wants revenge. He's pissed as hell about being captured for 3 months or so, and he maims and kills. You don't see a lot of death in this movie. They don't like show anything too graphic, but you know when he's flaming all those people, he's killing them, and he's righteously killing those bastard terrorists and enjoying every minute of it almost, you know. And his escape, it's fantastic when he actually gets out of there, isn't it?
And again, Robert Downey Jr. being excellent and just perfectly getting the cynical, wisecracking Tony Stark.
That's the something that made this movie so good, actually. I think you can compare this to the Batman movie, because it's a superhero movie that nails character. And it is not just a vehicle for some kind of avatar, say, as I feel that Spider-Man and the X-Men movies were. They were very vacuous. The characters weren't there. You just had these hollow, two-dimensional action heroes, basically.
Yeah.
This had depth. every character had depth. The motivation for Stain, he, you know, while at the same time, this is great. The villains in this piece, they're not the most complex characters, but they are perfect for what they did in this film. I just thought that there was the baddie Arab type, you know, smoking, always good, and bald, a bald smoking man.
And had, like, dark hooded eyes and a big nose.
And then, of course, scarred for quite a while in there as well. Brilliant villain. Yep. Couldn't get more stereotypical if you tried, but damn, did it work well.
Yeah.
And let's talk about a little bit Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't really like her as an actress, but I think she brought a level of intimacy, and there was this sizzling romance going on between the feeling between Pepper Potts and Tony Stark. And people complain about her name, but let's be honest, it's the name that she was given in the 60s for that character, and they bloody well shouldn't change it.
No, definitely not. And I have to say, her character is really good and a perfect foil for Tony Stark, because he's, you know, playboy, millionaire, trying on a bit, and she's probably just like, you know, you had your chance.
They're all each other. They've got. You know, for Tony and Pepper, that they're both on their own, and that's they are each other's, you know, backbone. That's what they keep themselves going. And their relationship becomes is very important for the role, and I think it's going to get even more important, especially as I feel in number two, number three, they're going to go into his alcoholism, because he does drink a lot.
He does
within the film. You see, he's always drinking, so it's not like something they've ignored. That's going to be an element. There's also, you know, that's definitely going to develop. Let's talk about Jim Rhodes. That was brilliant. I mean, I think he was possibly my least favourite of the supporting roles. He's a bit of a... I mean, he's not the best actor. He didn't feel gruff enough for the character, I guess, would be my only complaint. I thought he should be a bit more gung-ho.
Do you know, I thought Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, I could have seen him do that role.
Would have been a little bit
better.
Bit
too short, though, I think.
Bit too short, maybe a bit too Tony Starkish himself. With
okay, I guess in balance, thinking about it probably worked to play him down a little bit. His playing him a little bit more
straight laced, isn't he?
He is very straight laced.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where he sees. I don't think, to be honest, there's a lot in this film that you can say is a spoiler, because it's stuff you expect and that you've heard about that's already going to happen. There's this moment where he sees Tony fly off in the Mark III, and he's like, wow, that was really cool. And he turns around, sees his old Mark II suit, and goes, next time.
And you're just like, yes, war machine.
So we know now that this is another reason I love this movie so much. It's a case of they've accepted that this is a comic book property, and they've adapted it, and they've been extremely faithful to the property, and they've left all these little in jokes and references to the comic books in there for the fans. And that is what made the movie for me. There's the big one, which I'm going to we'll mention towards the end, at the end of the that came after the credits. You have to stay till after the credits if you are a comic book fan. You have to. I was shouting at the screen, and the few people left in the cinema were a little bit scared. But it was worth it, because it was awesome. But yes, that was fantastic. Other injects, of course, we've got S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Which, right throughout the movie, until right at the end, they give it this stupid full name, which is a new name for S.H.I.E.L.D. that they've devised. I can't even remember what it was, but you know what it was. Everybody knew what it was. And then right at the end, they actually go, it's S.H.I.E.L.D. We've decided to call it S.H.I.E.L.D.
Just call it
Don't
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't use this silly long name anymore. I can't remember what this long name was. It was unimportant. Something to do with strategic... defense, something or other, but you know, and at the end, it's S.H.I.E.L.D. And the great thing about one of them, you think to start with, and they're just like a CIA type, but they're not. There's this scene, and they're totally badass cool, and they're jumping around, and they're active, and they're you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. themselves are pretty freaking cool characters and cool organization, and I can't wait to see more of them. Okay, what else would you? I mean, action. How was the action scenes for you?
I have to say, when he went the first time,
we're at the Mark III.
And kicked ass in the Mark III was bloody brilliant, because he just went flying off, sonic boom as he broke the sound barrier, which rocked, and then just landed in this village that was being terrorised by the people who captured him, and kicked bloody ass.
And did it in such a cool way.
Yeah.
He's like fleeing through people through walls, and then these guys have these women hostages,
yep.
and he just puts them down. Yep. He puts them down, like, and they've no chance.
Nope.
And then the tank shoots him out of the air. Good shot for the tank, I might add.
Yeah.
Impressive. Shoots him out of the air, and he's just like, well, whatever. Missile. Tank. Dead. Awesome. And it was some of the best acting. Because you felt so engaged with the character, because the way he was introduced, and you watched him develop, and he was so well performed, that you were on this journey with him. And you felt, you know, he was righteous, and you were with him 100%, no doubt. It's completely there. The balance between simplicity of the characters and the enemies, at the same time with the depth, And the great performances, makes you just relate and care about everything they do. And it was fantastic. for it. I mean, even brilliant. And then we've got the Stain, and then he ends up going becoming the Ironmonger at the end, the big fight. I think people saying that was a bit of a letdown. I've already read that, and I think it was perfect because you don't want to overdose on the action yet, because we're setting up the character where we're showing how Downey Jr. has mastered this performance, and it's all about relating and getting hooked into them, because a lot of people don't know who Iron Man is. He's a minor, in many people's eyes, a minor Marvel superhero behind the X-Men, behind Spider-Man, behind the Hulk, all of those. He's a bit minor. He's known best for his actions within the Avengers, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Indeed.
But this is a great introduction, I think, to loads of people to Iron Man. I mean, I didn't feel that it was lacking in action. It was so many cool moments, like him testing out suits and him you saw him fighting and helping people, and I'm going to talk about this. Actually acknowledging at the end of the movie that he's a superhero.
Yeah.
Can anybody else remember a time in a Marvel film or a DC film when that character has come out and said, I'm actually a superhero?
Yeah.
Or I want to be a superhero.
He was just cool.
I can't remember that.
And the thing is, when he's actually testing out his flying capabilities and he does it and it's successful, and he's just like, yeah, I can fly. And it just rocks, because he's acknowledging that, yeah, I rock, I'm cool, I'm the dude.
I mean, there's so much we could talk about for this. I know we're missing stuff out, and once we finish, we'll probably remember stuff we should have added. But all I can say is you need to go see this film, because if you're remotely interested in action heroes or comic book films, or if you read any comics or anything at all, you just want to see a great performances in a cool film, this is brilliant. I mean, I can't wait to see 2 and 3, and let's talk about a little bit of what happened at the end of the film. I'd heard that Nick Fury's part was out of the movie. They cut it for time, and that it was going to turn up on the DVD instead. Lo and behold, we happened to watch all the way through the credits, and there he was, Samuel Jackson. It's no big surprise. Now, people know about this. As Nick Fury at the end of the movie, and it's not just a pop-in head thing. He's actually got a good few lines of dialogue, and he says, you know, Tony, should I spoil this? Should I not? I'm not going to spoil this. I'm not going to spoil what he says, but let's just leave it at that, you know, the Avengers movie, Marvel wants this to happen.
Yep, definitely.
As long as Iron Man succeeds and the Hulk does well, and I know Iron Man's going to succeed, I think that's a given. I think the Avengers movie is a certainty by, I'd say, 2015 at the sort of the round then.
Hopefully, yeah.
And we'll have that ensemble with Thor, Cap, Captain America, God, that would be cool, Iron Man, Hulk, and Ant-Man. They've talked about for the Avengers.
Yep.
I'm so excited, I can't begin to tell you. Now, anything else you'd like to add about the movie before I move on to this little bit of news to do with
it's just
the movie?
So cool that everyone ever should go and see it.
It's a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yep.
You're going to score it?
Yep.
10 out of 10. It's the best superhero movie I've ever seen. It beats even Batman Begins. Because Batman Begins, I think, took itself a little bit too seriously at times. And this is a superhero movie that doesn't. This is a self-referencing, self-aware superhero movie. They know it's a silly concept. Tony Stark himself knows what he's doing is kind of outlandish and crazy.
Yep.
But he's relishing it. And you're relishing it because of that. And it's brilliant, and you can't get enough. I could have sat in that cinema and watched 6 hours of Iron Man.
Yep.
And I thought the running time was perfect with 2 hours. Got a cool bit of story to start with, Genesis, who goes into a nice bit of middle action about showing how he's heroic and he wants to help people, that he's hurt because of his industry. And then at the end, you've got the face off with Obadiah Stane, and bring on the Mandarin, and bring on his drinking problems, and really let's get hit home how superheroes are, you know, have that human character. They don't have to be some stupid amalgam of, you know, ridiculous traits. They can be real, they can be believable, and you can care about them because of it. And like I said, Batman, it's dark. I can't wait for the sequel. It's going to be fantastic, The Dark Knight, but this is probably one of my favourite movies of all time, and I can't wait to see it again.
And let's be honest, although Batman, I have to say, is really cool and does rock, he can be a bit depressing.
He can.
Because, you know, stuff happened to him. He's a bit sad.
You know what? You know, there's a few names for Iron Man. You know,
yeah.
There's the Armored Avenger.
Yeah.
Also, Shellhead. This guy doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah.
He never does in the comic books. He does go through hard times, but he always kind of has that. He has a look at himself and he goes, you know what I'm fucking doing? I'm a millionaire pissing around in a suit. And at the end of the movie where he admits to all the press, I am actually Iron Man. And you just know, that's so Tony Stark.
Yep.
He loves the attention.
Yep.
He loves being a superhero. And he's going to continue to love it. And though Nick Fury does at the end, they bring him down and put him in his place a little bit.
Yep.
And I think that was brilliant casting.
Yep.
And it's, you know, thank you. It was Mark Millar for suggesting in your Ultimates book that, Samuel Jackson should play Nick Fury based on the Ultimates model of him.
Yeah.
Because, and then thank you, Marvel, for actually doing that, because it's perfect. And I can't wait to see more. And let's leave it at that. And if you want, then keep, I think we could, like I said, talk forever. I think we should leave it at that. And a little bit of news. A little bit of news to do with Iron Man 2. The rumours are that we're going to be seeing Iron Man 2 sooner than we expect.
Ooh.
Yes, very excitingly. Basically, one of the stunt trainee types has leaked, as it were, mentioned to the press that he's going to be taking Downey Jr. in for training very, very shortly. Basically, as soon as the round of premieres finishes, he's going to be training him up. Going to be building him up, and they're going to look to shoot, and it looks like they're going to be shooting in early 09.
Ooh.
So we could see this, the next movie. I'd say they start shooting in early 09. I know early 09, Transformers 2 is going to go out summer 09, so they could push for a Christmas 09 or maybe an early 2010 release for Iron Man 2.
That would be awesome.
They're expecting very good returns on this. The big fear is that GTA is going to affect it, but personally I think it won't, because this is a great movie and it's going to stay in the box office for a while, and the draw I think is going to be strong for it. They've marketed this, they're pushing this, and it's the first big superhero movie of the summer, and there's quite a few coming, but this is I think is going to hit a very high benchmark, and it's going to be really hard for the competition to match and or beat this.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the summer. There's some great movies for superheroes. We've got this, we've got Hulk, we've got Batman, and there are probably others. Oh, there's that one with Will Smith as well, which looks funny as hell, which his name has now popped out of my head, but it will be really cool. And I Robert, you know, thank you for, you know, and thank you Marvel for having the guts to put these people in these roles that you've cast them in. I think that's made the movie, and it's made it one of the greatest movie experiences I've ever had.
I mean, I love Robert Downey Jr. anyway, but now he's like, I really just think he's brilliant.
For more information on Iron Man 2, make sure you check the link in the post, and we'll speak to you very soon.